You are now listening to the Black Girl Nerds Podcast.
Five, six, seven, eight. Holla, boys and girls, it's the BGN. Coming from the Marvel world to the DC friends. All the way from Hollywood to the PCN. She defends everyone from sleazy men. Won't apologize for spitting Shonda Rhimes. The space that we make is never colonized. Talking games and movies and actors.
Word? Better shake your booties for Black Girl Nerds. Better shake your booties for Black Girl Nerds. Better shake your booties for Black Girl Nerds.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of the Black Girl Nerds Podcast. My name is Jamie and your host is Ryan this week. We are pleased to present to you Attica Locke, a renowned TV writer and one of Hollywood's most sought-after executive producers. She produced Little Fires Everywhere, Empire, and was the showrunner for Netflix's From Scratch. The Edgar Award-winning and New York Times best-selling author is releasing her final novel in the timely and evocative NPR Highway 59 trilogy, Guide Me Home. It's going to be out on September 3rd here in the United States and September 26th in the UK. We are so excited to talk to Attica Locke about her book, about her work in television, and so much more. And this interview is conducted by Ryan. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode of the Black Girl Nerds Podcast featuring author and executive producer Attica Locke.
Welcome to the Black Girl Nerds Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan, and today we're going to put on our mystery cap, right? Like all you investigators out there that like to talk about a little crime. Plus, let's sprinkle a little bit of, you know, being Black in America and then a little bit of family drama, a little romance drama. You know, you got to have the drama that you mix into it. We're going to be talking about a new novel called Guide Me Home, which is part of a trilogy called Highway 59. I had to get put up on game because I know about the trilogy, so I got to get together. But the only person I feel like could bring us this cool trilogy, bring us into this mystery, is renowned TV writer Attica Locke. How you doing, Attica?
I am so good. I'm so happy to be here.
Thank you for joining us. Now, before we get into the whole mystery of it all, because I love this crime mystery is really picking up as far as like genres and fiction and the way people take you in. But just to think about just being a Black woman, right, in TV writing, then going to being an author for TV writing, where did you start? Like, how did you know that was going to be your niche at the beginning? And kind of how did you get your start there?
You know, what's funny? It's the opposite. It's the reverse, meaning I was actually, first of all, I wanted to be a movie director. That's how I first started. And I did the Sundance Labs a long time ago, had a movie deal that fell apart, and I became a screenwriter for movies. And I was doing that for years and years and years, always getting paid, nothing was getting made. And I was like, this, yeah. I like money, but I also like feeling like my life has a point. And I started to think, this is stupid. I'm just writing for people who don't really read and don't care about any of this stuff. And so I decided to walk away and I became a novelist. And so I walked away from writing movies, became a novelist, then circled back around because television started doing all of the really cool stuff that movies were trying to do. You know, movies became the franchises and the Marvel and all this, whereas TV, suddenly you had people of color, you had women's stories, you had stories with sociopolitical themes. TV got interesting. And I lucked into a job on Empire. And then suddenly I was a TV writer and producer, balancing that while also being a novelist.
I got to ask you, now I used to love me some Empire. Like I would not miss an episode every week because like you said, it just felt like something different and it was so fresh. And it was like Black people could be like messy on one side. They got their business side. It just felt so different to see that and to know that there was so many people of color behind the scenes. Like what do you, I know it's been a minute and you know, you've got fun scratching out now, but what do you remember from those days, like writing and producing?
Empire was one of the most fun jobs I've ever had in my life. We were flying by the seat of our pants. There were many of us that did not come from TV, meaning, you know, I had not done TV. I'd done movies. There was somebody else who'd been a music video director. There was somebody else who'd never, like we all came from these different backgrounds. And also you had Lee Daniels at the center of it with Danny Strong. Neither of them had done television. So all rules about how you do TV went out the window. And I think part of why that first season was so fantastic is we weren't trying to hit this mark and hit this note. We were just like, we're going to tell it the way we want to tell it. And also there's this sense of like, we were not going to write this for a white gaze. If you caught what we were doing, great, come on and join us. But we were not writing anything that was going to explain anything. We were just going to drop you down into this very specific experience. And it was fun. Taraji and Terrence were fun. They were crazy. It was fun. I'm on a text thread now with three of the writers that's been like 8 years long. And we just be cracking up. It just was fun and Black and so Black.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Definitely so Black. Yeah. You miss that. You see it kind of coming around in different forms now, but you miss a little bit that, like, you know, that dynasty, but it's all Black, like the different ways that we get to see ourselves.
Yeah. You know what you're making me think? I don't want to give this idea away on the show, but
okay,
this is just making me think in the way that we have like a 30 Rock or you have like a morning show where it's the show behind the show. I now want a show behind the show about a Black sitcom or about a Black show.
That would be bomb.
I'm going to tell you what, it was his own drama. It was his own drama with just us and the writers that could have been his own show. So
nobody take that. You write that down, Attica, and then come back after you got the show, after you got the show rights.
Yeah, I'm kind of a good idea. Hold up.
Yeah. You got to jot that one down. But speaking of good ideas, take me into this world of Highway 59. Like, where did that come about? You know, the titles, like, so you already got Bluebird, and then you got Heaven by My Home. So kind of take us into, like, how did you come up with all this?
So I'm from Texas. I come from a long line of Black Texans, and we are the flip side story to the Great Migration, meaning we didn't go anywhere, meaning we were blessed enough to have a little piece of land on both sides that you had homesteaded, that we were a part of freedmen's colonies. So we had land, and there was just this sense of, well, we're not going nowhere. We done built this shit. What the fuck are we going anywhere for?
So
we come from people who were like, we are going to stick around and do the hard work of making these people act right. So we will stay here. We will open our schools. We will rabble rouse. We will be activists. That's what we're going to do. So I have been steeped in Black Texas culture my whole life. And so I grew up, the book series is called the Highway 59 series. Highway 59 is a highway that runs along the east side of the state from Laredo to Arkansas. I grew up riding on that highway to go see aunties, my grandmother, you know, in these little towns on both sides of my family. And I just got it kind of in my soul. You ride through Highway 59, you got the pine trees everywhere. You might pass a brother with a pit smoking some stuff. Somebody else is selling armadillo sausage. You're going to have a Confederate flag outside of a barn. They in there drinking beer. Like, it's just a rural fantasia. And it stimulated my mind as a kid. And something told me I want to return to that. And I want to write a series in which each book is another crime in a small town. And at the center of it would be this Black Texas Ranger who is ambivalent about his role as a Black man in law enforcement. And him having to navigate these little towns where you've got the red hat folks out there. And how is he navigating these towns when he has the power? You know, as a Black man, but it's not always respected. And then sometimes Black folks are like, wait, you one of them? I don't know if you one of me. And so how does he navigate all of these worlds? And that's where this all kind of came from.
Yeah, speaking of that, because I definitely wanted to dive into Darren first, which was such a cool, like, fascinating character, the way you've written him. Because he started out, you're like, this guy's a little like, what's going on with this guy? You know, but you start to unravel like his past a lot. And a lot of the scenes are so, I'm just curious about your process of like writing the scenes with him and his girlfriend is slipping my mind right now in this one. Yes, Randy. With him and Randy is so vivid where she kind of sneaks up behind them. Like they've had an argument, you know, she brought his mom in. Maybe we're supposed to do that. And, you know, he's like, you know, trying to in the bottle a little bit and she's trying to come up behind him. But the way you describe the scene, I'm sucking at it. But the way you do it in the book is fabulous. The way you describe her kind of approaching him and everything. And I'm wondering, you know, does that kind of help like having that TV background or how do you kind of really map out those scenes?
I do think having a TV background helps for a lot of reasons. One, choreography. One of the things that when I read a book that can frustrate me is if I can't tell where everybody is in the room. Like, if there's something about the way that it's written where I can't be, wasn't that person sitting over there and how they over here? So I think when you're thinking about a set, you are trying to think about where's everybody in time and space. So I think that helps me. I also think I'm very much just writing as a scene would unfold so that it has, I hope, a kind of lived experience, not acted, but like, it's, I'm very much trying to go be in the action of then this happens and this happens, as opposed to always being inside somebody's mind and what they're thinking. I'm trying to make sure that the action is unfolding. And so I do think that being a TV writer and screenwriter has had a big impact on the way that I write scenes and certainly the way that I write dialogue.
Yeah, it was, you could definitely tell, like, the dialogue. Like I say, it's just so, and you know, sometimes you get that, but not all the time. Like, you kind of feel like you're skipping and you have to fill in sometimes with novels, like exactly where your mind is going. But this is so detailed. Like, I could see, you know, just Darren sitting on a couch with his head, you know, trying to figure out his life. Cause he always seems like he's in some kind of like confusion, right? Like trying to figure his life out. So it's just so very well painted in this. Can you talk a little bit about, like, more about, because you touched on a little bit, but just creating his character and his relationship with his mom, Belle, who is so fascinating as well. It's like, I just want more of that, you know, just to see women in that level.
Yeah. I knew very early on that he was not raised by his mother, that he lost his father early, and his mother chose not to raise him, and that he was raised by these twin uncles who had different ideas about law enforcement. And so once I knew that about her, here's the thing about what's fun about writing is I needed to write a scene where he had to go by his mother's house. And as I'm writing this scene, this is in Bluebird, for some reason, I immediately saw her sitting on the front steps of her trailer, picking nail polish off of her toes, and got a can of beer sitting right at her feet as she's smoking a cigarette. I was like, I know her. Like, when you just start giving people behavior, it's like you immediately know who they are. And so she became alive to me in that moment. And that scene that follows in Bluebird, where they both go in a trailer and he's asking, so how much have you had to drink today, mama? And do I need to put your keys in the freezer? You start to get a sense of who she is as a mother. She said, come on inside, I got some food in here. She ain't got no food in there. She just said that. She wants to be that type of mom, but isn't. So like, she's such a fun character to write because she's at the extremes of like human behavior. And yet I understand her. I feel for her. I think she's wrong, but I understand. You know, she ends up, for a portion of this entire book series, blackmailing her son because she is in possession of a weapon that's connected to a crime that could really get him in a lot of trouble. And her blackmailing is, it's money, but it also could be a case of beer, or I want a new TV, or I just want you to come over for dinner. Like, the idea of a mother blackmailing her son for love. Yeah. Was so kind of interesting to me. And so I'm always pushing myself to see how to make characters be as specific as possible, that you're not pulling from these tropes of like things that you've seen before, but like, what's something really, really, really new and specific?
Yeah. And it's like you said, even without, because now I want to go back to like Bluebird. I want to make sure I see, because I can even see her without you just describing that was like, okay, I put another puzzle piece within it. But it's also the way you've written her. I feel bad. Like, I know there's something that Darren knows that I don't know as an audience member going through this, where he's just like pissed. He's like, I don't have time. You keep trying to pull me into this mystery. You don't know what you're talking about. But as an audience member, you keep trying to feel, because you're like, okay, well, she's got a point. Like, it's some stuff that's checking out. Because you said, like, you're very specific with how you're explaining these characters, so you feel for them. Like, you feel like this, I always feel like this tug of war, you know, when you know you have a good character, because you're like, do I believe her? Am I following along in the story? Is she really about to come up with something? So I love how you have that back and forth.
Yeah.
Is there anything else about, because I know we have Highway 59, but the Texas background really, I feel like, plays into this, because you have like Thornhill. And like you said, just the visually, you can just see, you know, like that factory aspect, the town that doesn't, like, it looked like they might be moving forward, but they have no idea what's going on. You know, the racism you have in a small town.
Well, I very much, when I started this series, wanted it to be a love letter to Black Texas. I wanted it to be a love letter to the way that I see the state. And that means a lot of conflicting things. I find Texas people to be some of the warmest people I have ever met in my life. I know some of them will also string me up. So, what do when you live in a space that you love and you see its beauty and you love it, but it doesn't always love you back? And so Darren is always trying to kind of represent that. But you're right that I tried to give the books a lot of texture of the culture of being Black in Texas, the food that we eat, the music that we listen to. We in cowboy boots and Wranglers too, but we also got some Earth, Wind, and Fire going. Like we're all of these things. And so thank you for saying all of that, because that was very intentional on my part to write this book series in a way that really captures all of the texture of Texas as seen through the lens of people of color.
And I wanted to share this line too to kind of have you piggyback up, because this is one of my favorite lines in the book. It says, wondered which wounded the soul more, living in a country that had never kept any of its promises or seeing America's capacity for good, catch wind and fly for a while, only to come crashing back down. That was like one of my favorite lines in there, because I feel like it just, it sums up, how you feel on a daily basis, especially now in this time, right? Like a Black woman, you're like, okay, we got this, we got this, we got this set up. Then all of a sudden you like, now we taking 10 steps back. It's like, what you doing?
And I think about that what I wrote there a lot, because I'm Gen X. I am purely raised on the other side of integration. My parents were activists. Literally my entire life, I have seen America have a bloody, difficult struggle to be its best self. And that's just the trajectory we were on. There were some steps back, but we was pretty much going in the right direction. And then Trump came, and Trump broke my brain. He the that this fool where he is broke my brain. And it did make me think, would it have been easier if, it's hard to see that we got to a place where we thought. Look, and I was never a Obama post no post-racial, but what Obama gave us was a step forward. It gave us finally talking about race openly, because all of a sudden you've seen how awful these people are to him. I see something real is happening, and then it just all kind of crashed. It just all kind of crashed, and we went back so deeply. Now my mood is lifted by Miss Kamala. My mood lifted over the last few weeks. We will see. But yes, that I tried in the early part of that book to try to capture Darren feeling so confused about how did we get here as a country? How did we get here as a country? And also, I am a cop who has lied. I am a cop who has manipulated evidence. I did it for a good reason. I did it to protect a Black man. But where does the line? That was way too easy for me to do. And if we're not going to have objective truth, how are we going to function? So I really wanted to capture kind of the chaos of, and the book takes place before 2020. The book takes place in 2019, but I wanted to capture just the chaos of the Trump years.
And he's so just like, it's so awkward too, because it's like, when he steps away, he's like, can I use my authority in this situation? Because I know they're going to see I'm a Black man and I'm trying to come in here and get some information and they're not going to tell me. So he's always, he's like, he's relating to that like everyday, person where you're just like, what authority do here? What power do I have here before somebody just initially sees I'm Black? Like, and I'm in certain spaces, like, what do I have first?
And we are always kind of having to navigate how we present ourselves. I remember one time when my husband and I were trying to go buy some appliances. And I was like, now let's see, what's the right amount of good jewelry I put on to be taken seriously in here and actually get service, but not so much jewelry that they then jack the price up? Like, we're always, because for Black folks, sometimes we have to dress a certain way to even be seen, to even be seen. And but then I was like, well, shit, don't put on too many diamonds and they charge you high for this washer and dryer. But I understood that going into certain spaces, I've been in banks where they're like, I just came in dressed regular, like, we're not cashing this check because we don't believe there's any way that you have this money. So that's the thing that we are always having to do. And it's interesting that even a man who has a badge has to do this too and decide, do I wear the badge today for this conversation, or am I better off not wearing it to get information?
And his and too, like you said too, and just try not to wear that on his face, Because, you know, as soon as he comes up, you know, like if he's approaching a white teacher or something, you're like, okay, he's got to keep it together, because she's going to be like, why are you here anyway? You know, like, what's going on? She's automatically going to have that flight sense, you know, when you see him in certain scenarios, and it's because she doesn't understand. Yeah. So it's just that I just love how that you have that that mixture going on along with this mystery, where I was saying has me on the edge of my seat, like, what's going on? You know, where is, you know, how does this mystery come up and wrap? But you guys gotta wait till September to go get you a copy of this to figure out, guide me home, to figure out this trilogy, where it's gonna end, what's going on, you know, where is Sarah? That is the question, you guys. So, you know, put on your, I still got my detective hat on. I'm trying to figure it out. I'm trying to get there and figure out, see what's going on. But Attica, before we let you go, are you allowed to talk anything about Bluebird being picked up? Like, I know you got that picked up. Maybe possible to you?
We're working on it right now. And that's pretty much all we can say, is that we are working on it.
Okay.
And working on ways. And it's me and my sister doing it together, which is fun.
We're
doing my book. It's fun. We are looking for ways. This is very important to me as a reader, writer. I want to make sure that the book has stuff that the TV show doesn't have. And I want the TV shows to have stuff that the book doesn't have. So part of the work that we're doing right now is to build a Darren that is absolutely of the essence of who he is in the books, but also make sure we're adding in some other stuff, so that if you've read the books, you're really getting something kind of new. And I will give you just a hint. We may not be going in book order.
Ooh.
Going out of order. So
yeah. Oh man. Go mix it up for us book readers. Gonna be like, oh, what chapter we on? Well, Attica, I appreciate it. I just think you are so talented. It's been a joy to talk to you. I was like, just having a sister, let me tell you, behind the scenes, writing, you know, keeping the novels going. I'm just loving it. You need it in this time period.
Thank you so much. I'm trying to ask God to use me to figure out how can I also pull up some folks behind me.
Yeah, that's what we got to do. But yeah, I appreciate the time. You guys, again, go check out Guide Me Home, September. Do we want to give like dates, or I just tell them wait for September? Check it out.
September 3rd. No, give the date.
September 3rd in the U.S. and September 26th in the U.K., right?
That's right. You might as well pre-order.
There you go. Pre-order. Yeah, you guys, I'm telling you, get into this. Yep. Get into this mystery. If you guys figure it out before me, let us know. All right, Attica, I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. This was fun.
The Black Girl Nerds podcast is produced by Jamie Broadnax. The opening theme song to our show is written and performed by Samus. Various instrumentals are performed by Samus, Sky Blue, and Shubzilla. You can find various episodes of the Black Girl Nerds podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Audioboom, Google Play Music, and Spotify.